Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. Get into the Word of God today. The subject of shall we continue? And you're saying continue what? Well, when I get done, hopefully you'll know. Amen. Praise God. Did you ever watch a show on TV or get information somewhere that you wanted to know about? And we don't want to see the phrase to be continued. But we want to continue living for God. Shall we continue? Romans 6 and 1. I'll read another passage. It's in Acts 2:42, or after this one. But let's notice Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In verse 15, same chapter. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Could be translated servants of righteousness. That sounds easier. Servants. Okay. Father, we pray, Lord, for the anointing upon your word, God, today. May your Holy Spirit, God, just minister the heart and the soul and the life of every person as only you can do. We look to you, God, for divine guidance now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we continue? In the natural world, it seems that people that go to a place and just settle down and stay, and with a career or with whatever they do, and are not constantly changing jobs or changing locations, but become people who are stable, who can be counted on, and if they stay and stay and stay, I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody in particular this morning, I don't have anybody in mind, if you're worried. But they just don't consider returning to another way of life or making a living. They just continue. But the same is in the spiritual. People who are truly saved and born again are people who just don't consider turning to a past life as an option. They continue in their walk with God. And so that's what we have to do. And people of the faith, they have people who have made a choice. They chose heaven over hell. They chose eternal life over eternal darkness. They chose eternal fellowship with God over the absence of God. They've chosen eternal fellowship with God over the absence of God forever. They choose to continue in the faith. My friend, our destiny hangs upon the choices that we make. And so we choose. Lord, I know that here today we'd get to almost 100% of hope. Say we've chosen Christ, chosen life, chosen to live for Him no matter what. But you see, the early church, the book of Acts church, they were one who continued in obedience to the Lord. They had many struggles, they had many trials like anybody else. They were normal people like you and I. But the Bible says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they continued even after the day of Pentecost when God had demonstrated great power and given them the anointing and the power of God fell down from heaven. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says they didn't quit right there. They continued. Amen. Steadfastly. Praise the Lord. First of all, I want us to understand that Christ continued. Until He finished the work of redemption on the cross, He didn't fall short. He had every opportunity to not do that if He didn't want. As a matter of fact, in one place He prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, the cup of suffering and the cup of sin that would be poured out upon Him who never sinned. Amen. And so, in spite of opposition, in spite of the insults at the cross and the people mocking him at the cross, Jesus just continued praying for those who drove the spikes in his hands and feet. Because the blood that he was shedding in that day was for them who crucified him. And it was for us, because you see, he was crucified because of us and because of the Romans and because of the Jews. And we can make it universal. He died for everybody. Our sins to be judged and be dealt with and be atoned for, it took the precious blood of Christ. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. And he continued at the cross until he completed the plan of redemption for you and I. And when he completed the plan of redemption on the cross, he cried out the words, "It is finished." He wasn't saying that, "Oh, well, I'm finally through suffering. I'm finally through with this suffering that I'm going through." No, he was saying the plan of redemption is complete. Salvation is available to all. Whosoever can come and drink of the water of life freely. He's saying it's finished. The plan of salvation is finished. People can come. They can be saved. They can be born again of God's Spirit. They can be filled with the Spirit. And they can walk with God. And they can end up in heaven eternally. Amen. Thank God for a finished work. He continued until, not one step short of Calvary's rugged hill, did he stop. He listened. He didn't listen to other suggestions. He just continued, motivated by love for us. My friend, when Jesus did this for us, how can we not continue with him? Jesus said, Luke 9:62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." My friend, there's no looking back. There's nothing to go back to. We're going forward with God. Hallelujah. Heaven is just ahead. It may be sooner than we think. Amen. That's okay with me. If he wants to come today, take me up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so Christ continued. And let's look now at the fact that the early church that began in Acts continued. And if you want to look at Acts 2:42, I'll preach a little bit out of there. Some of you are afraid I may preach too much, too long. It's okay. I'm not worried. Acts 2:42. The early church continued. Amen. Shall we continue? Yes. The early church continued. Acts 2:42. And they continued in one accord in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Let's look at those four things for just a moment. I know that every sermon is supposed to have 3 points and a poem. Not all of mine do. Some of my sermons are like a fat man caught in a barbed wire fence, just a point here and there. So they continued steadfastly, first of all, in the apostles' doctrine. And certainly that doctrine was salvation through the blood of Christ. Salvation by faith and not of works. Amen. For the same Jesus. And they served the same Jesus, headed for the same heaven. They met regularly for worship. And the Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching." And I believe we're seeing the day approaching, the day of the Lord, when all things will come together that God has planned and God has been prophesied and talked about, preached about for so long, will suddenly become reality. And it's as good as if the reality anyway, because Jesus said it and it's going to happen. Amen. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Certainly their teaching had to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Certainly had to do with the continual filling of the Holy Spirit, not just once. Amen. I believe, you know, somebody was blaming the Baptists for being once saved, always saved. You know, a lot of times Pentecostals commit a sin of being once filled, always filled. No, God wants to refill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 5:18, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things." Amen. God wants us to be filled and refilled, renewed in the Spirit. And that's why we come to church sometimes, because we want to be renewed in our spirit. We know, yes, we talk about, we sing the same songs a lot of times. Amen. Sometimes we preach the same sermons. Amen. Hopefully not every time. But anyway, we want to be filled with God's Spirit. Amen. I find in the book of Acts, the disciples, they weren't just once filled, always filled. They continued to be filled with the Spirit. You read it throughout the book of Acts. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued mixing with people with the same goal, the same place, serving the same Jesus, headed for the same heaven, telling others the good news of the gospel. Amen. So I've never believed that you just don't associate with anybody that's not a Christian. No, Jesus was guilty of being with sinners and publicans, probably Democrats too. But he mixed with them because they needed the gospel. And so, yes, God wants us to mix with people. It's just that we don't make the same choices and be involved in the same activities that sinful people do. Amen. But we're in the business of showing people there's another way. We don't look down or cut down people that don't believe or look at the same way than you and I do. Amen. Because, you know, we got a message to tell. Amen. We didn't come to condemn people of sin. Sin does its own job of condemning people. We don't pretend it's okay. But they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. And third, they continued breaking bread. I'm sure at the Last Supper, when Jesus began to break the bread, it really got a hold of them. And they said, "This is Christ who fed 5,000 with five loaves of bread, 7,000 with four loaves. This is Jesus that made wine out of water." Amen. Welch's grape juice. And the breaking of bread, and they would remember the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and his work on the cross. You say, "Well, I don't like this cross stuff." My friend, you've left the gospel if you leave the cross out. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. You can't get past the cross, my friend. You've got nothing if you don't have Christ, him crucified, and you don't have nothing if you don't go further than that and have him risen again from the dead. Praise the Lord. That's the gospel. And so no doubt they observe the Lord's Supper. They no doubt observe times of remembering God, Christ's broken body and his shed blood and his work on the cross. They cannot get past that. I hope we can't. Hope we always remember that. And so they continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking of bread. They continued in prayers. They had to follow Jesus' example. They didn't have to, but they chose to follow Jesus' example, who prayed to his Father continually. And Jesus prayed then, and Jesus prayed for you, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for us. Praise the Lord. While they were driving spikes in his hands, Jesus was praying for them. And I'm told, a little bit of research, that when they nailed a person's hands to the cross, they nailed spikes through their wrist so that they couldn't possibly pull out enough head of the nail there to keep it from pulling out and them escaping before they died. And sometimes they stayed as long as a week on the cross before prisoners died. Jesus died the same day, probably because of shedding of blood. But anyways, it was time for him to go. And he said, "Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit." Okay, prayers. Jesus followed their example, or we followed Jesus' example of prayed. He prayed to his Father continually. He prayed for us. And on the day of Pentecost, you know, the thing they had to do first was pray. Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer." Jesus had just told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit." They would need the power to preach this gospel and to live this gospel. And you and I still need the power to live this gospel and to proclaim this gospel. "And these all continued with one accord in prayer, with supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So they all got in this, and they made it a family thing. As a matter of fact, there was 120 of them on the day of Pentecost. They gathered together, began praying, and God did a wonderful thing. And Jesus had told them, don't depart from Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They believed what he said, and they continued praying until they were filled with the Spirit. Amen. But you see, had they not obeyed Jesus' command, had they not prayed and obeyed, they would not have received the Spirit baptism, Jesus' promise. The gospel would not have spread. And the message of the cross and redemption would not be available today. My friend, we must continue on with God, not just a one-time thing that we, you know, spoke in tongues 50 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, but it's something we continue to do. Amen. We're filled with the Spirit. It's not that speaking in tongues makes you better. It's just the way of worship and praise to God that comes as God gives, the Spirit gives you the utterance. Not as somebody else does, but as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Amen. And so, one fellow got up, he was going to preach on tongues. He said, point number one, the long one, tongue. No, I'm not going to preach on that one. But I might someday. But church, we must continue. They would receive power from on high. They would have to endure persecution. People were being killed for their faith. They would have to have the power to live a victorious, overcoming life. They needed power to say no to sin. And they continued on. And they continued on living for God and walking with God and living for God. Even though many of them gave their lives for their faith, yet they did not quit. They continued on for Christ. And you and I have to continue on to serve God no matter what. So the church, we the church, must continue with so many foolish, wild, unscriptural teachings out there and placing Jesus' name on them. We must hold to the infallible truth of the Bible, the only message that will put people on the road to heaven. Amen. Heard one fellow not long ago, let me give you an example here, a wild and foolish teaching. He, you know, for a certain amount of money, $50, he'd give you a petal of the Rose of Sharon. And somehow that's supposed to help you or do miracles in your spiritual life. Well, I'm not here to sell anything this morning. Praise God. But I do know that the gospel of Christ must continue. Paul said to the church at Rome, I am indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so Paul preached there. There was a run of all places in Rome. There became a powerful church there, and there needed to be, and there needs to be one today. Praise God. But if we'll continue in the faith and live as the early church did, being filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit, we can be a powerful witness for God in His kingdom. So we, the church, must continue. Failure to draw near to God brings you to stray and be unfaithful to God. My friend, what God started in you, He intended to continue. In the Old Testament, I'll give this for an example, King Ahaz. He was king of Judah. He had two good examples of kings prior to him. But King Ahaz did not continue to walk with God. He turned aside to idolatry, which was eventually his ruin. In 2 Chronicles 8:22, it speaks about King Ahaz. Now, in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to God. You see, little by little, he began to drift away from one true God. And for whatever reason that I can't understand completely, the other gods of other peoples began to look good to him. You know, the devil can make sin look good, but it's not. He can make it enjoyable, but it's not. It's only sin for a little while. And then what is left is guilt and shame and condemnation. That's the best the devil can do, the offer. It's guilt, shame, and condemnation. If you don't want that, then don't stray away from God. Continue on with the Lord. And so King Ahaz became continually unfaithful to God. And it says, this is that King Ahaz. That's what he was known for, is his unfaithfulness to the Lord. In church, you and I, we've been saved, filled with the Spirit, seen people saved, filled with the Spirit. Yet after a while, people begin to slowly drift away from God and go back to what didn't work to start with. Amen. And people take up a life of disobedience to God instead of obedience to the Lord. How much better is it to just come before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I've messed up. Would you restore me? And have God to restore you, refill you with the Spirit. And God to say, I've not left you behind. I've not quit on you. I've not forgotten about you. I haven't cast you off to the side, but I'll take you back. Because you see, God's in the business of restoration, restoring people to the faith. Amen. Does it matter how much I sin? Yes. You're not supposed to sin at all. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. That's restoration. Praise the Lord. And so don't stray from God. Whatever the devil has to offer, it's not good. It's not going to turn out good for sure. Let's move on here. Third point, God saves us to continue. Now I'm going to move to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Great verse of the Bible. Says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. God saves us to continue. I'm thankful that God didn't look down on you and I and say, you know, I want to save that person for a little while. I want him to live for me for a year. Or I want him to serve me until the first trial comes along and makes him doubt. Or I want to give him a fighting chance. No, God saved us. We can be confident that God wants us to continue in Him. And God began a work at salvation. We are confident that God saved us from eternal destruction. We can be confident it's God's purpose to continue His work in us. And to continue His work of sanctification. Amen. Some people don't like the term sanctification because it means separation from evil and devotion to God. And some people are more cranktified than sanctified. But God works His sanctification work in us. Amen. He's continually filling us with His Spirit. He keeps us from falling back into that old way of life, which we don't want to go there. We want to walk with Him. We want to serve Him. We want to keep on. We want to continue in Him. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Amen. You say, well, if grace is there, I can do anything I want to and still be forgiven. Let me tell you something, friend. The grace that God teaches us is to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that grace is a thing that's been misused over the years. Well, it's covered by grace, you know, and so I'm okay no matter what I do. No, not no matter what you do. Amen. I was talking to a young man one time, more than one time I have. But. And it was when I was still in high school, and I was talking to him, a preacher's kid. And he was talking about, and you know, some of his invasions into, I guess I'll say it, sexual things. And I asked him, I said, do you believe it's wrong to commit adultery? He said, yeah, I believe it's wrong, but I don't think I'll go to hell for it. Well, he shouldn't have said that to me. Because when God says, thou shalt not, He means don't. Quit. Stop. Amen. Amen. He didn't say it's all right to get out there and stray a little ways and a little bit, just not very often. No, He didn't say that. You shall not. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. And so, I don't remember the end of that conversation, but the end was, he believed he was saved, and I believed he was lost. But God knows. What then? Shall we say that Shall we continue in sin because we're under the law, under grace, not under the law? Yeah, because you see the law, the Ten Commandments makes everybody guilty. You know, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, it makes you guilty. Amen. It didn't have the law didn't have the power to deliver you from sin, but it had the power to show you what sin was. And God defined sin by the Ten Commandments. And he told his people the way he wanted them to live, which was completely contrary or in the opposite of what the people of Canaan lived. Amen. And there's a lot of Canaanite drifting much in our society here today that God just does not want us to live certain ways. He's told us how he wants us to live. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor, don't make it too strict. I'm not going to make it any stricter than the Bible does. It's strict enough. You'll live for God, you'll be holy enough. Amen. And if we don't continue, shall we continue? Because, no, you can't use grace for an excuse to sin. It is true that God will forgive you if you confess your sins and repent. But is your attitude that you're trying to get away with just as much as you can without actually losing out? Amen. My friend, if you're on the tiptoe edge of a burning fire in hell, why would you stay there? No. I want to be in the way, the truth, and the life. Walk with God, serve God, live for God. I want to walk straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. Praise God. And it says here, to whom you do not, in our reading there in Romans, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves or servants to obey, you're that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? I don't think there's any question of what he's talking about here. You say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. Sure you do. What good is deliverance from sin and hell if we just go back to the same sinful behavior? God saves us from darkness, from sin. Amen. Can you imagine standing before God one day and he says, why didn't you continue? Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't save you for you to go back. God loves you. God cares for you. God offers his eternity to you and I. He wants us to walk with him, serve him, walk me, be with him. Amen. And be with him forever one day. Hallelujah. You don't want to be a slave to sin because sin is never satisfied until completely destroys you. People become addicted to things they can't be free of without deliverance from God. But thank God that he still delivers. He still sets the captives free. He delivers. He sets people free. Amen. There are people that have been bound by things that they could not get rid of, tried 1,000 times, tried to go to AA, tried to go to this, that, and the other, tried to get rid of things in their lives. But when they got down to business with God, God set them free. Praise the Lord. And so, do we want to be a slave of sin or a servant to righteousness? A people living in obedience to God, a people headed for that heavenly Jerusalem. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, having been set free from sin, you became slaves or servants of righteousness. Paul writes to that Roman church. Rome had every kind of sin you could ever think of. Amen. And those people, when they were saved from a very filthy lifestyle. Because you see, sin is filthy to God. I don't care how big or small you may make sin. But God sets people free. I'll tell you what, friend, I want to continue on with God, whatever it takes, to the end. God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to sin and to say, yes, I'm going to live for you no matter what. If you fail, God will help you out and restore you to come back to him. Praise the Lord. And God cares and God loves and God wishes to set you free and for you to be his. Amen. No matter what. Praise God.